this evening's reading and meditation, let's turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The chapter that is before us is a chapter that really speaks of our response that we are to have for the love that God has bestowed upon us. And the response that we are to have towards one another, towards our Lord. And the one verse that really, I think, gives us a clear means of fulfilling the high calling that we have is Jesus teaches us. He says, I leave you a commandment. He says that you would love one another, but he doesn't stop there. Because if he says, just love one another, we can all define the level of love that I can extend towards you as being sufficient or what you deserve. And I can be content with that love that I give towards you. But Jesus doesn't say, love one another. He says, love one another as I have loved you. Now that takes us, and as the brother prayed, that we are to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. That when if we are in the footsteps of Christ, our Lord, he says, love one another as I have loved you. Now that gives us a clear direction, a level of the love that we are to have one for another. And that love that we are to have one for another is the love that he describes as the witness that the world will know that you are my disciples. And so when we consider that, dear ones, I think that we can all, looking into our own hearts, our lives, our motives, our you know, all our thoughts that go through, that race through our mind on a daily basis, and the thoughts of one of another, and so on. And Jesus gives us a means through which, as he tells us or John tells us in his gospel. And we had this chapter not long ago also, chapter 13 of John. He says, know ye what I have done to you? So this is after he had washed their feet. He says, he's asked them a question. Do you know what I just did to you? He says, and he goes on, he says, I have given you an example. that you should do as I have done to you. So as I have done to you, I've given you an example of what you're to do one to another. And as I mentioned earlier, this is my commandment that he says. This is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. With those words, dear ones, we know the love that God had for us. There is a wrath of God that we don't want to speak about. We love to say God is love, because we know that love is something that we all want to experience. But it also talks about the wrath of God, and so we like to leave out some of the attributes of God, because we don't like to hear about the wrath of God, because the wrath of God is a holy wrath, one that sin cannot stand in his presence, and it must be dealt with, must be, or he's not God. And so we have to understand, though, that the love of God is so great that it transcends, and it was demonstrated to take away his wrath. His love was demonstrated to nullify his wrath. Or not nullify it, but rather appease it. Or to take it away from being poured out upon us. So the love of God is so great. And it is that love that he says that I have demonstrated to you that you are to have one for another. So, do we love one another enough? Too much? There's no such thing, right? There's no such thing to love anyone too much. We'll never get accused of you've loved too much. We're not going to stand at the judgment throne of God and hear you've loved too much. We could hear we didn't love, but not too much. And so what this chapter in Romans is calling for us, in the end of this chapter, he says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Jesus' words are, these things have I spoken unto you that ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. Jesus overcame the world. How? How did he overcome the world? Was it with military power? How did he overcome the devil? Was it with you know, as they mocked him from the cross? Go ahead. Bring yourself down from the cross. Is that how he overcame? What did he do? What did he demonstrate for us so that we would be able to escape his wrath, which Jesus speaks about as a fire in hell that burns on and on. He talks about a torment. And some people say, well, it doesn't literally mean fire. I'm not going to get into what hell is, but we know if it's a metaphor, let it be a metaphor. But all a metaphor is going to do is describe something that cannot be described in words. So don't think if hell is not an actual burning of fire, if it's something, don't think it's something that's going to be better than that. When we describe something that we can't put into words, we describe it towards something that we could understand. You know, I once had a pain in my bone, and I described it. I described it as like my leg is in a vice and someone is just cranking it down. I don't know what that feels like. I've never had my bones crushed, but I tried to describe what it felt like. And that description is actually worse than what I actually was feeling. But it's a metaphor to try to give an idea of how bad it is. Now, let's not comfort ourselves if we think that the fire of hell is a metaphor. The wrath of God is not something to be trifled with. The wrath of God is not something to be ignored or to say, well, his love will not allow those things because God is love. Well, God demonstrated his love as a means for us to be able to overcome the world. And so Jesus' words are, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Here we are told, be not overcome of evil. So in other words, if we do not overcome evil, we will be overcome by evil, period. The only way we can be overcomers is to overcome evil. Rise above evil. How did Jesus do that? Through love. Love. He didn't call the legions of angels that the Bible tells us he could have called upon. All power was his. Everything was there. How did he do it? Through love. He overcame the devil. He overcame everything. He overcame and showed us a manner in which we are to live, in which we are to walk, and he says here, let love be without dissimulation. Don't have any hypocrisy in your love. Don't do anything because you have something that you're going to gain back from. Love, Jesus, when he poured himself out upon the cross, when he poured himself out, he didn't do it to gain something for himself. He did it for us, for the object of his love, which was you and me. And so he says, as I have loved you, love one another. Brothers and sisters, have we reached that love? Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor. What a strong word, that which is evil. Be not overcome of evil is the closing verse. If evil overcomes me, it's because I've given it room. Something was attractive about that. The love, which is the only way that I can overcome evil, was not great enough. My love lacked, which means what? That my faith lacked. Because Jesus tells us, it is my faith that will overcome the world. And so if my faith is lacking, then I will be overcome. And now, what do I rest upon? What do I look to? What do I want from my Lord when I've been overcome by evil? I've been overcome. In other words, I wasn't kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. So how can I go through life? I'm not going to be kindly affectioned one to another, towards you. Can I say, I'm not going to love you because you don't deserve it. Oh, and I deserved the love that Jesus overcame the world and the devil with and showed his love, demonstrated his love for me because I deserved it. Really? So his love was given towards me undeserving completely, right? We all know that. We would all say that. And so what? I'm going to measure the love I give to you based upon what I feel you deserve, then I don't have the love of Christ. And I've been overcome by evil. I've been overcome by evil. The only way evil can be overcome is by love. That's it. And so if I'm going to hold back my love, my brotherly love, it's because I don't have it. It says, in honor, prefer one another. Prefer someone over yourself. Give him the honor. Give him the honor. Because I have to. No, no. Because you don't know another way. Why? Because I know Christ. And Christ lives in me. He's given me his Spirit to direct me, to guide me, to show me his way. He's given me his Spirit. He didn't leave me comfortless. He gave me his Spirit so that I have a means to which that I could demonstrate the love that I have for him by showing it to you. That's what we are called to. Rejoicing in hope. What will give me hope? I can't think of where Paul talks about. He talks about our being justified. He talks about us being righteous, and he talks about it so that we would have a hope. So all of this, our justification, our righteousness, what Jesus gives unto us, is all given to us so that we can have a hope. What is a hope? A hope for tomorrow. A hope that, it says rejoicing in hope. I'm not going to rejoice in hope if I'm not justified. I'm not going to rejoice in hope if I don't have his righteousness. But I can only have that when I have his love. When I believe in him, when I give my heart to him, he will justify me. He will give me his righteousness. And I will have hope, and I will rejoice in that hope. I'm not going to say, oh, I think. Paul rejoiced in the hope that he had. For me is laid up a crown of righteousness. Period. No doubting. Why? Why was Paul able to do that? Is it because he held back love from those who were undeserving, those who were going and mocking him, those who were going, and after he sets up a church, they come in and try to break it up? Rejoicing in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Jesus says, in the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be patient in tribulation. Continue instant in prayer. Continue to pray. Continue to pray. Have the prayer life that Daniel had. 3 times a day he went facing Jerusalem as Solomon prayed at the dedication of the temple, that all who pray would look to Jerusalem and pray. And that's what Daniel did. We don't have to face Jerusalem, the city, today, but our hearts must be facing toward Jerusalem, the holy city of God, where Jesus is, in order to pray. Pray towards him, facing him, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints. Why are you given to hospitality? Because I love. That's why. But if I set myself up to do something, I just found that he talks about what I was referencing to earlier. He says, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Wow, dear ones, the Holy Ghost is given unto us. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. He gives us the means to overcome the world. It's by the love of God, no other way. There's no other way that I'm going to be able to because the natural man is not going to want to honor, preferring one another over self. That's not the natural man. The only way I can overcome the natural man is through love, the love of God. That's it. I can set up a manner. I can try to figure out a way. It doesn't work. It's only by the love of God. And so he says, now, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Saved from what? wrath. What wrath? The wrath of God. Oh, I don't want to talk about the wrath of God. We're justified by his blood. The blood that was poured out because of the hatred of man. Man at his absolute, at the zenith of his evil, when he pierced the side of Christ and blood poured out, that blood was shed for you and for me. And dear ones, he says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. And now he says much more now. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. This is the love of God. And he says, as I have loved you, that's how you're to love one another. Go ahead. Describe why someone doesn't deserve your love. And then read these words and say, yeah, I deserve that. I deserved Jesus to die for me. I deserved it. Can we say that? We wouldn't even think it, right? So why would we now start to describe why someone is undeserving of my love? Because Jesus doesn't call me to that. He says, love the enemies. He demonstrated that love. He showed the thief on the cross, who was just cursing him moments earlier, he opened the doors of paradise for him. He says, today you will be with me in paradise. The man that put the crown of thorns upon his head, he offered him crown of life. Was he deserving? This is the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts, that gives me the means to overcome the world. It's the only way. It's not going to work anywhere. I can't sit here and say, if I want to do something, if I say, I'm going to love God so much that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this, well, what I'm saying then really is I can pay him back for what he did for me. Because that's what I'm trying to do. Okay, because God did this for me, because he loved me so much and gave his Son for me, now I'm going to do this for him. I'm trying to pay back a debt which is unpayable. It can't be done. It doesn't work that way. We can't set a goal aside that here's what I'm going to now do because what he did for me. I've reduced his grace into a debt that I'm going to pay back. I'm going to give it back. And I've totally lost sight of who he is. I've lost sight of his love that he had for me, that he gave himself for me, and that I am now to give myself to him. I've lost sight of it. And that's where Paul says in chapter 13 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, you could do all these things, but if you don't have love, it means nothing. It means nothing. And that's just such a harsh word. When you've given so much, it means nothing. Nothing. Love is the answer. It's the answer to overcoming. If we don't have it, we have been overcome already. You know, I can overcome a sin, to physically do a sin. I can overcome that and not do it. And it reigns in my heart. I've been overcome. And I'm not even doing it, but I've been overcome. The only way I can overcome evil is through good. Bless them which persecute you. Bless them that persecute you. Bless, and he repeats, Paul repeats, says, bless and curse not. Don't even think of cursing. Bless him. Isn't that what Jesus did, demonstrated on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They cursed him. He blessed them. Love as I have loved, Jesus says. Love one another as I have loved you. And he goes on, he teaches us here, rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. Dear ones, we know when we love someone. Let's take it into our immediate family. You love your child, you love your mother, father, someone, brother, sister. You love them so much. And something happens that is so cause for rejoicing. We rejoice genuinely, genuine rejoicing from our heart. That's how we need to be one for another. And when there's a reason to weep with someone, we weep genuine tears. Why? Because we love them so much. And he's calling us today. He said, be of the same mind one toward another. And he tells us, mind not, again, this is mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. The natural man can't do that. It's the Spirit of God that's shed abroad in our hearts that gives us this hope that can help us overcome this. And be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. See, it says here, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. If I take comfort, if you do something evil for me and I'm like, God will pay you back. And I'm not gonna do anything, but God will pay you back. That's vengeance in my heart. I'm not clean. I'm not pure. Love your enemies. Do good to those who use you and abuse you. That's the love of Christ that he demonstrated on the cross. Because the vengeance is mine, okay? God says, I will repay. So his vengeance is absolutely perfectly administered, perfect. The right amount is given exactly as it is deserved. Deserved. God will give it. What you and I give, as we heard not long ago, is way more than what is deserved. That's the natural man. He says, no, don't do anything. Leave it to me. Because you know what? God could still work in that heart and still change him. Look at what Stephen was doing, praying. Lord, don't lay this sin to the charge of Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. Not in Stephen's life, no. He blessed those that cursed him. And Paul became this apostle whom we are reading of. God worked in his heart and changed him and molded him into the image of his dear son. God can do that when we bless those that curse us. When we do good, when we overcome evil with good, when we love instead of hate. God can do those things. Is if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. As much as lieth in you, that means give, do everything you can to be at peace with all men. As much as lieth, how much? Try a little bit to give, be at peace with all men. No, it says, as much as lies in you. Do everything you can to be at peace with all men. Do your part. That's all God is asking. Nothing else. Nothing else. Do your part. But you know who does that? God does. Love does. God is love. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, wrong epistle. He says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through what? Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome. You get entangled, you're going to get overcome. You get entangled, you're wrapped up, you're tied up. You're not free. You're entangled. You're overcome. You're overpowered. How? John tells us, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That's the victory. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are without excuse if we are overcome. And we don't want to talk about the wrath of God, though. So if we are overcome, what do we want? Do we want God to wink at our sin? Do we want him to overlook it? His love will overlook it. So that nulls. Or really, what we do is when we try to raise his love to the point that it will overlook my sin that is alive in me and wanting to continue, and I rely upon his love, basically what I've done is I've eliminated love, because love is there to help us to overcome the world, to give so that we would not face the wrath of God. The wrath is there. Love overcomes that. Love gives us the way to overcome so that we, dear ones, can have the blessed hope that the Apostle Paul speaks of and shows us the means to which we can find our way through this world. It's only in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And he says, learn of me. May God bless his word upon our hearts in this evening. Amen.